What is up, guys? Welcome back to the Rip City Rundown Podcast. Today, we've got a little two-man weave going. It's myself and Cody. No Wes today, but this is our first podcast with more than just myself since the draft lottery and since the Blazers were put up for sale. So I know you guys got some of my initial thoughts from that. Those pods came out within hours of those big-time events taking place. But now we've had a lot of time to digest. Cody will give his thoughts. We've got a couple more small Blazer stories, accolades to discuss. But Cody, how are you doing? Welcome back to the pod. I mean, it's been a little while, but it's been not as long as last hiatus.
Yeah. I got a little wingman action today, duo, to talk about some Blazers. NBA draft is, I think, June 25th, which is about a month away, a little bit less, as we're recording this May 29th. Yeah, lots of stuff to talk about. I mean, I feel like there's a lot of stuff to talk about. We could talk about the draft, talk about the lottery. The lottery, I guess we can start with that, because that was just kind of funny, because, you know, I wasn't really watching it, because I'm like, all right, we're probably going to get, you know, the 10th pick or 9th pick. But if we jump to 4, I'm saying to myself, all right, I'm going to hop on whatever channel it's on and watch that. Of course, we drop to 11th. I think that was the second worst pick we could have gotten. I think we had like a 1% chance to get 12, a 50-something percent chance to get 10, and of course we drop to 11, which is just laughable. But I think the most laughable part of that night was who got the first overall pick. And it just, like, I don't know, man. The NBA's got some explaining to do, man. I don't know.
They do. And that's what I said right after it happened. I was like, you know, for the first time in my life, I truly can see the NBA being rigged, because the Pelicans trade Anthony Davis to the Lakers. Next draft lottery, they get first pick, they get Zion. Luka gets traded to the Lakers. Next draft lottery, Dallas gets Luka. And there's more and more in that. But a little thing, though, the ping pong ball combination that the Mavericks won on. So it's literally like, there's 4 rounds and you have to get the exact number in each 4 rounds. The combination was 10, 14, 11, 7. So the Mavericks won the lottery by getting a 7 on the last one. If the ball was a 6, the Blazers would have won. So just like the Wimby year, like,
yeah, you know.
I know we can say all these things like, oh, of course, it doesn't matter though, but it is kind of crazy how in 2 of the biggest draft lotteries the Blazers have been in the last 10, 15 years, they've been that close. I mean, they're the only team that's been that close. It's not like they've got other teams like that.
We can cherry pick all we want on little facts like that, because they're going to be there. The more you dig deeper. To be honest, 11th, who cares? It doesn't really hurt us that much. If we got 10th, which was expected, we would have had, well, one spot better. Yeah. So it's like, it's not the biggest deal in the world, but it's kind of just like, we dropped from 10, really?
It's more just like, of course, we drop, and then literally probably the 3 teams that I most didn't want to be in the top 3 got in the top 3 in Dallas, San Antonio, and Philly. So it's just unfortunate. But the Blazers are set up really well for the future. We know that. There's not much else to talk about. It's really just like, okay, we got the 11th pick. We're starting to bring in some more prospects to bring in to work out. So that's going on right now. And we'll probably have another podcast come out before the pod or before the lottery and kind of dive in on some prospects a little bit. So is there anything else you want to say?
The draft, you said lottery. But next thing we should go into is Jody Allen.
This is your alley, because when the Blazers, alley, when Dame asked out from the Blazers, you went on a kind of historic Rip City Rundown rant. Like, I think if someone's a longtime listener, I'd argue, I mean, we're looking at that one. We're looking at Robert Covington, 2 dunks, 2 first round picks for every missed dunk. We're looking at what else is a big RCR Rip City Rundown podcast moment?
The Game 5 debacle in the playoffs.
The Game 5 debacle, of course. You know, the only time we've had this podcast when the Blazers are in the playoffs. And you, of course, weren't on the podcast yet. We've had some. The Blazers are legit, boys. Do the Blazers get home court? Obviously, coming
terrible
in the
take.
Fall
terrible
of take. 2022. But
yeah, Jody Allen.
What was your perspective, kind of, just to give the viewers some context, why were you going on that rant against Jody Allen? Like, what was the reasoning behind it?
Yeah, so basically when Dame got traded in 2022.
Or asked out.
Asked out in
23.
My emotions were quite high. It was literally like 2 hours later, so I was kind of just looking for someone to blame, and I kind of, oh, Jody Allen. But to be fair, she does deserve a lot of the blame. You know, what was annoying and kind of what my rant was about was how, you know, you got this team and money inherited to you because whatever, you didn't work for it. His brother, Paul Allen. Anyway, and the problem is just like the lack of, I don't know, emotion that we saw from her was just really disappointing throughout these years. And it's just like, sell the team. Like, Paul Allen was the owner. He's gone now, so sell the team for someone, another passionate owner, to take over. And my reference I made was, you have your net worth is $40 billion, and if you wanted to go into luxury tax and help your team out, pay some players, that probably costs anywhere from $10 to $50 million, and that's equivalent to like a $5 candy bar if you're a broke teenager. So it's like, Jody, what are you doing? Spend some money.
Like, literally, like,
so this news is gold. Yeah. This news is gold. I will say that.
Yeah, it truly felt like even if the Blazers were going to go to, once the Blazers went down the rebuilding path, like, screwed, like, Jody Allen doesn't matter anymore because obviously we weren't going to spend big. But in the time from like 2021 to 2023, when Dame ultimately asked out, there was never a moment where Jody was like, okay, let's go make the move. And there's some, I think, some valid sources behind that. That's not just us making stuff up. But now that Jody is ultimately looking like she is going to sell the team, they're beginning the process, like, are you excited about that? Like, is this is a good thing for the Blazers, right?
Obviously,
you
would say? I'm just hoping that it goes to an owner who's passionate and one that doesn't move the team, but I think the chances of that are practically,
yeah,
little to zero.
I think I've seen people do that. Like, that's not gonna happen. The Blazers are one of the better small markets fan wise. I think probably the arena might need a little work, but I saw a rumor. Obviously, Phil Knight's always going to be in there, but at this point, he's 80-something, and I think he said that he doesn't want to buy the team at this point. He wanted to buy the team back in like 2021 or 2022. I don't think that's going to happen anymore, and if he does, it'll be more as like a part of a group. It won't be just solely him. I saw someone say the founder of NVIDIA is from Oregon. I don't know if you know anything about that, but I don't know if he has any ties to basketball, but that would be an interesting one. Ideally, you get someone that has ties to the Pacific Northwest, so there's no way they move the team. But again, I think that's never say never, but I'd say it's in like the 1-3 percentile of the team being moved. I just think this truly just opens the door to a new era. You get a passionate owner. And honestly, here, I have a question for you, Cody.
Yeah.
So we've seen new owners come in. I'm going to focus on the Suns, Matt Ishbia. They made the finals in 2021, and then Ishbia buys the team, I think in like 22 or 23. I think it was 2023. He buys the team. And they have a good young team. They've got some older players, but for the most part, they have Chris Paul, but for the most part, they're built around Booker, Bridges, Cam Johnson, DeAndre Ayton. They're a good team. But they, Ishbia comes in and he's like, ooh, I got an NBA team now. I run the team, because at the end of the day, the owner kind of makes the decisions over the GM. Like, the GM gives them ideas, but the owner ultimately pays the bills, so they get the final say. And that's, again, why we didn't love Jody. But Ishbia buys the team, and he's like, I want to go win right now, right now, right now. I'm going to trade Mikal Bridges, Cam Johnson, and a bunch of picks for Kevin Durant, and I'm going to trade for Bradley Beal. And while in the moment, that's amazing for a fan base, because you're like, oh my gosh, we're going all in. We're getting all this talent. It's also kind of mortgages your future. So basically what I'm saying is, like, if a new owner comes in, do you want them to be aggressive? Because we haven't seen that from a Portland team in my lifetime. Or do you want them to kind of trust this rebuild in a way? Like, that's a really loaded question, but take it how you want to.
I know what you're trying to say. I would approach it as, I want an owner who is willing to pay the money, but listens to his employees, listens to the people that under the organization, listen to Joe Cronin, listen to Chauncey, listen to just the whole organization. Really not necessarily have a basketball opinion, because I think when you have money and a basketball opinion, you know, your opinion might be what actually reflects off of everything because you're the top of top of the ladder. So I just want an owner that trusts everyone, not the situation with the Suns, like a Mark Cuban type owner, for example, one who's passionate about the fans and on social media and not afraid to, like, I don't know, go against the norm. I'm trying to say. So
Yeah, hey, I saw someone say, "Hey, Mark Cuban, you don't own a team right now. Why not come buy the Blazers? Get back in the league."
Yeah, I was thinking but, when he was yapping against Skip Bayless. Not that that has anything to do with basketball.
No, but like I agree with you. You want that was another thing about Jody is like she just kind of hid in the shadows.
Exactly.
And like okay, valid. You live in the shadows. I don't care. You never were meant to own a team, but like sell the team if you don't want to show some passion with it.
Yeah.
I see it with my other favorite sports team, the Panthers. The owner passed away, who was like a big North Carolina guy, trusted everything, or he has to sell it for some reason or something like that. And we get David Tepper comes in, and he, you know, classic billionaires, you know, they are selfish, obviously, and they think they know everything because validly they should assume that because they've made billions of dollars doing it their way. But this isn't like normal business here. This is sports. It's much different than a tech company or something like that. So Tepper comes in, tries to make all these moves, decides to draft certain players over other players and fires coaches real quick. And, you know, the Panthers are finally starting to turn it around, but they hit a long dip there in the new owner era. So that's just a scary thing. Like while it's roses and daisies right now, because it's fun to have the idea of hope of a new owner that loves the team. Like,
part of it's scary.
We got to get that. It's a scary time. It's not just guaranteed to just be amazing. So I just think that's something that Blazer fans need to remember, honestly.
Yeah, for sure.
This podcast is brought to you by Underdog Fantasy, where you can sign up and use code RCR when signing up and get up to $1,000 in bonus credit and a free pick. The NBA Finals are about to start. Do the Knicks come back 3-1? They just won game 5. They're now 3-2. You can take it higher or lower in game 6. You can take it higher or lower all throughout the NBA Finals, other sports as well, using Underdog Fantasy. We've posted some picks on our stories, on Instagram, on TikTok. Make sure to go check those out. We've hit some, we've lost some, but we've hit more than we've lost. And it's fun to get in on the action. Again, code RCR when signing up. The link is in the description. All right, so a little housekeeping before we jump like into the off season. We've had some players get awards or make award teams from this past year. We're going to focus on defense first because the Blazers have an all-NBA defender, second team. Tumani Kamara makes the team. Congratulations to him. That's huge. I'm going to be honest. I can't remember in my lifetime the Blazers having an all-defense player. My question to you, Cody, is Tumani Kamara the best Blazer defender of your fandom? And let's say 2008 and on, 2009 and on.
Because
he might be.
He is. And
which is crazy.
And it's good, obviously, now. But like in hindsight, like it's kind of sad because it's just like you've had Dame this whole time. And can you just... The whole narrative around Dame is just build around defenders. And Tumani Kamara comes in after he's traded 2 years and wins. It just would have been the perfect piece to have in 2019, for example, or 2021 when we were in the playoffs competing hard for a ring. But negatives aside, I'm really happy. If you were to tell me that he would be second team all defense last year, I would have called you crazy. So the fact these are
crazy.
Big names. These are big names on the whole defensive team. So, I mean, he's probably like the smallest name on this team as I'm
looking at it. I mean, the second team is Rudy, Jaren Jackson Jr. Those are two. I don't know if Jackson's won a defensive player of the year, but those are two guys that are always in the conversation. Jalen Williams and Zubac, who really upped his defense this year. But Kamara's in his second year. He was a throw-in in the Dame trade. In the Dame trade, but really in like, if we're being honest, I know it gets clumped into the Dame trade, but we traded Yusuf Nurkic, Nasir Little, and Keon Johnson for Tumani Kamara and DeAndre Ayton. Like, that's
That's great.
Insane. Like, that is like clap it up for Joe. As much as like Ayton can piss you off sometimes, like, he's better than Nurk. Like, look, Nurk has fallen off a cliff post Blazers. Like,
Where is he? He was awesome.
I think he's in Charlotte, bro. Yeah. He's in my city. I know. And they do not like it here. I'm kidding. I don't know. They don't care if Nurk is on the team or not.
By the way, you might know the answer to this question, but where do you think Portland ranked in defensive rating this year?
Don't know the answer to that question. I don't want to overshoot it. I'll just say the Blazers were, they were, I bet they got into the top 20. I'm going to say like 19.
They were 16. They're one spot away from the median or the middle. That is, hey guys.
And I'm sure if you did that like from January 1st on or something, then it would probably be even better.
Yeah. Like,
which is just lovely. And that's led by Tumani. Like, look at what Tyrese Haliburton is doing in these playoffs. He is going off. Tumani held him to a freaking goose. I know it's just one game, but he held him to a goose.
That is disgusting. And you look at the OKC Thunder, who are, like, honestly, probably have the highest odds to win a finals going into the finals, whoever they end up playing. And they're similar-ish to us in terms of construction, just like a young team that's pretty good at defense. And, like, I'm not saying we can be the Thunder in 2 years because we need a Shea-type player for that to happen.
Yeah. But,
like, I don't know, man. The similarities are, like, I don't know. And also someone commented to me on Instagram today telling me the Dame shot led to the OKC ring, which is kind of sad if that ends up being true.
No, you want to know what's funny? Paul, yeah. It's if it's Pacers and Thunder, it's just the Paul George Bowl, because the OKC got Shea from Paul George.
Yep.
And Indiana traded Paul George for Sabonis and then traded Sabonis for Haliburton. So it all just comes back to Paul George. You trade Paul George, you get better. Yeah. So basically, the Clippers are probably going to be great in a year or two. So
yeah, once they get ready. Or the Sixers, but, yeah.
Yeah, or the Sixers when they inevitably move off of him. Moving on, another player got recognized on an all-blank team. All-rookie. Klingon makes second team. The first team was Castle, Reese Ache, Jalen Wells, Zach Edey, Alex Saar. Second team is Matis Buzelis, Bub Carrington, Donovan Klingon, Kel-El Ware, Yaviz Missy. And honestly, Klingon makes second team, but like, I think Klingon's going to be was better than Zach Edey this year. Edey just was on a better team and was able to put up more points. Klingon's defense was insane this year, and you know, making second team is great. I don't know if Scoot made second team last year, which is
I don't know. I mean, when Saar is a high pick, obviously he's most likely to be first team. So, yep, I'll give Klingon his props for being second team. But yeah, he could have easily went first instead of Edey, honestly.
Yeah, I really think he could have, especially if he had more opportunity. He really started showing out more second half of the year.
I mean, if I were to, who would you say just had a better rookie year, straight up, Edey or Klingon? Just like, if we could redraft, like, I'm still Klingon every day.
Oh, honestly. If we could redraft, it's easily Klingon.
I
feel like he's, and even not for fit, just like, I think. What's his name? Grizzlies would want Klingon if they could get him.
I think so.
Edey just is going to be the more sexy pick for an all rookie team just because he's more of a scorer. But Klingon's defense is more valuable than Edey's offense, I think, by a landslide.
That's good.
But Klingon makes second team. Good for him. That's making an all rookie team. He's the seventh pick. He was probably projected to be second team, and he got second team. So good on him.
Yep.
Moving on, there's just a touch on this real quick because I don't know how much legs this has, but there's a rumor coming out in the last couple of days that the Blazers could possibly be interested in Chris Paul, specifically to mentor one Scoot Henderson. Would you be open to that?
I would. I think Chris Paul's at the point of his career where it's not like, I don't know, he doesn't like need the ball in his hands or anything like that. He's not going to be that veteran that's like ball hoggy and it's like, oh, why is this guy on our team? We're trying to develop young guys. In fact, he's the polar opposite of that. I think he's, you know, he's one of the greatest point guards to ever play the game. And when you have Scoot Henderson going to his third year, this is a big year for Scoot. Like, we need this third year. You say it all the time on podcasts. It's arguably the most important year for development. If you're not that guy by the third year, there's a really low probability you're going to be, you know, an elite player in this league. So I think it's definitely an option to explore. My question would be, how does just the money work with all that?
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like...
Because he's not making a lot, I don't think.
No, he would make like... We could do it. Like, we could do it money-wise. The more thing would be like, does Chris Paul want to be on a team where like he really shouldn't be getting many minutes? Because especially if we keep Simons, like Chris Paul just played all 82 games with the Spurs. Like, is he going to want to come to Portland and do that? And another question is like, not that this is the only reason he's still our coach, but one of the main reasons everyone loves Chauncey is because like, he's a good mentor for Scoot. He was also a point guard. Like, does Scoot need another mentor? I guess there's no such thing as too much help, but I don't think it's like, I think that's more of a rumor. I don't think that's something we need to really be big in. It's, I mean, it said the Blazers are among the teams that could have an interest in Chris Paul should he not return to the Spurs. Portland GM Joe Cronin has suggested he likes the roster it's currently constructed, though those around the league have said the Blazers would like to add a veteran guard to mentor Scoot. So I think that's one of those where it's like, sure, there's nothing wrong with that. I am not going to fight you if that happens. Like, go ahead.
Yep. So that would be an interesting move that we could make. But just looking at the whole summer, once the summer trading deadline and all that stuff starts, what do you think we could do during the summer, like realistically, and things that you would just want to happen? Obviously, you got a Robert Williams and Jeremy Grant have been on the chopping block, it seems like, for over a year by now. And
literally,
here they come again to another situation where moves could be made or Simons could possibly be dealt. I mean, what do you...
It's so tough because...
What do you want to happen? What do you think will happen?
Okay. That's a tough one because I don't even really know what I want to happen because... The way we ended the year, like, I almost feel like if we just left the team as it was and made marginal changes around the edges, like, I think we would be good enough to make the play-in next year. And, like, that would be a fine step in, like, the ladder to a championship. But at this, like, I just don't know if it's worth it to, like, make some big move this offseason because we haven't even sniffed success yet. Like, normally you make your move once you've sniffed success a little bit. Like, that's why the Rockets are so rumored to make a move this summer because they've sniffed a little success and now they've seen what they've got and they're gonna possibly make changes because of that. So what I think is gonna happen is that's what's gonna happen. The Blazers are gonna make marginal moves around the edges. I mean, if I said, do the Blazers trade one of Robert Williams, Jeremy Grant, Anthony Simons, do you think the chances of that are over 50%? Just one of the three.
I feel like
it would be crazy to say no, but like, I feel like we've been saying that for a year now. So,
yeah, and I agree with you with the big move thing. It's just like, you know, this is the first summer and probably a while where I'm actually like not opposed to signing that big star because I don't want to give away our young guys right now. I want to play it out and see how they can do. And whatever happens, if we end up getting more draft capital next year, I don't know, but... Yeah,
I just don't know if I don't know if is whoever we can get at the 11th pick like worth the pick because like I'd almost rather like package a Jeremy in the pick and maybe something else in like what I want to happen. I don't want to try to go get some big star even if it's available. I don't know if we have the assets for that. Like they're not untouchable, but for the most part, Scoot, Sharp, Klingon, Denny, Tumani are for the most part, like, unless we are getting an insane player, I don't want to trade them this summer. And I don't think we will.
Agree.
I think we've got, I don't necessarily want to trade Simons because I think that might be a mistake because we don't have a guy that can score like Simons on this roster. Again, we still haven't seen it from Shaden. Like, Simons is one of the best high volume 3-point shooters really in the league, especially when he's on. Like, there will be a big black hole in 3-point shooting if he's not on the team. But I would be open to trading him and banking on the development of Sharp or Scoot. So honestly, best case or what I want to happen is I would want to trade like, I mean, I'm looking at a mock trade right now. It's DeAndre Ayton, the 11th pick. Oh, see, that's a little too many firsts, but it's basically like something around the 11th pick in one of our Ayton, Simons or Grant and get like a Zion. I know that's a crazy one, but like Zion, I think at this point has a lower value than.
I mean, that's the position I need is a position four of the five.
Yeah, but like forward. that's like the max, like,
yeah,
max skill player I'd want to get. Like, I can't think of other ones off the top of my head, but I would just want to go add solid talent to this team, a little bit of veteran talent, like the level of, like, not that I want this guy, but like the Desmond Bane level, the level of a like OG Anunoby or Mikal Bridges. I'm saying like those level players, guys that aren't all-stars, but like could average 18 and could really be a big veteran on this team. That's all I want to add. Like, and I think what we have in a Simons, a Grant, an Ayton, Robert Williams, the 11th pick, we have the assets to where that's like, that's a possibility. Now, yeah. does Joe have the, like, the nuts to do that? Like, his biggest trade is Avdija. But when we traded Avdija, we weren't trading for him because we expected to get this version of Denny. Like, that's a great job by Joe and all, but like,
maybe he did.
If you asked Joe,
maybe he did,
but I guarantee if you put the lie detector on Joe and you said, are you trading for Denny because you view Denny as an all-star player? Like, in your eyes, are you trading for an all-star? I'd guarantee he'd say no. And Denny's not an all-star yet. So like, that's still much true, but you know.
Well, we'll see. We don't necessarily need to trade for any one big. Like, if we package 11th pick and Jeremy, we can trade for like a 23-year-old who's like semi-proven on the rise and can still help our team in the future. I don't know what a good example would be, like a Jalen Williams type player. I don't know, something like that. That type
That'd
of
be nice.
But yeah, I mean, before we go, is there any draft, like, who do you think we could draft in the 11? Not that we're gonna do a mock draft right now, but because there is going to be a pre-draft podcast coming out in June, shortly before the draft.
Yeah. Let me see.
Are there any names you're looking at? Because I don't follow college hoops as much as you, actually. I saw a power forward that could possibly fit our team. Derek Queen. Fun fact, I was at the March Madness game when he had that game winner. It was insane.
Yeah, you were.
And I watched the Ducks lose to Arizona. Sucks.
Yeah, that's tough. Yeah, like, that's a guy. I just, like, honestly, like, is the power forward, like, the main...
I mean,
position
we could draft
of need.
Anyone. We really could.
I think at this point, the only thing you can't draft is like a small guard. But if you took like a 6'6 guard, like, that'd be fine. Because, like,
this isn't 2022 anymore.
Which players on the team right now are you like, I have the most confidence that they will be in the starting lineup when we are good in 3 years? Like, give me the players you think are most likely to be in the lineup on the team right now.
Scoot, Denny, and Tamani. Or Denny,
Scoot.
Yeah.
Scoot, Denny, Tumani, so that locks up your one and most likely your three or four. You technically could slide Denny and Tumani up to the two and three, but like, basically that leads you to, and honestly, probably Klingon's in that, I would say.
Yeah.
Maybe. But like, that just shows, like, and then the last one would be Sharp, and like, we all think Sharp can be this great player. So basically that means all positions are open. I think you just draft best player unless you're looking at a small guard. So
go for the swing. Go for the guy that has the best chance to become a Shea.
I have no clue who we should get, honestly. It's like, there's the clear one in Coop. Then there's most likely what's going to be the next three picks, the two Rutgers guys, and then VJ Edgecombe. And then there's like another little tier of a couple Duke guys, Trey Johnson from Texas. And then it gets into like where we'll be picking. And a lot of those guys where we could be picking is like some smaller guards. There's a big point guard from Illinois. I don't know, man. Honestly, this is probably going to be one of those drafts where like whoever we draft, I'm just going to be like, unless it's a crazy position, like a small 6'1 guard, I'll just be like, okay, Joe, sure. I trust that this guy will be at least solid.
Yeah, I mean, you look at all the drafts throughout the years, and there's always like big time star players hidden past spot 10. So like, if we can just hit on that, that would just be amazing.
Yes, there is. That would be nice.
Yes, we just need that star core. I don't know who it's gonna be.
Yeah,
four years, right.
Like, so if we want to be in fairyland, like, we can say we're on the OKC track, but the difference is OKC has Shea.
We need that Shea player. I mean, we can pay for it in 3 years, but gosh, that's going to be expensive. Like, I'd rather draft it. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's hard because, like, I think if you ask Thunder fans, you probably weren't going to say, like, oh, Shea's definitely going to be an MVP. But all these star players typically in their first 3 years kind of show something that, like, oh, yeah, this guy's going to be a star. And unfortunately, like, is Shaedon Sharpe going to be a star? We still have no idea. I'd lean toward no, because he's been in the league for 3 years. And obviously there's more like upside for Scoot in terms of like, he's got more time to develop. Like Tumani's in his second year, or he's going into his third year, but in his second year, he proved he can be one of the best defenders in the NBA. There you go.
There you go.
Now there are the rare cases like Denny where he's what, year 4 or 5. And then he finally broke out. So I don't know. There's NBA's weird.
Just gotta find it.
Yeah, the Blazers are in a good spot. I can't be mad about where we're at. I look forward to draft night. I think there's possibilities that moves could be made, but again, it's always more likely it won't happen. So I think that's going to do it for the pod. You got anything else?
I think I'm good. I'll be watching on June 25th. Maybe on vacation. We'll see. I don't know when I leave for that
that's a good specific take.
Trip. But
it's a good take.
Yeah, I'll be watching. Hopefully we draft someone that can help our team a lot next season and watch them develop all year long and have a better rookie year than Scoot. So that's all.
Yeah.
I had no reason to do that, but it's just like,
no shade at Scoot, but that would be nice to have a better rookie season than Scoot because it wasn't great. It wasn't great. Let's be real.
But Scoot had a good second year, so we'll take that.
Yeah. So thank you guys for watching. Again, make sure to go follow us on TikTok and Instagram, rcr.trivia. And of course, use code RCR when signing up for Underdog. Links in the description to get in on that action. We'll see you guys next time. Peace.